today's presentation is very teaching. That's not an apology. Because the seven trumpets, Carl, are one of the more difficult and historically oriented aspects of Revelation. In fact, most pastors just skip over it. But it is a part of the unfolding of the book. And we need to place it in its right place in the Revelation scenario so that we understand that this message is as important, and you will see before I'm done, as practical as all the rest of the messages. And if you've been following me, Tony, you know that I make Revelation practical. I'm not very theological. I'm very practical. Because God, we have found out that the book of Revelation is about who?
Jesus.
Come on, talk to me. About who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Kevin, good to see you coming in, man. God bless you. The Lord has kept you. He was in the hospital most of last week. God bless you, Kevin. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. So, if it's about Jesus, listen to me. If the book is about Jesus, then I would think God wants us to understand everything in the book. What do you say?
Yes.
Including the ominous seven trumpets. The seven trumpets. Well, let's pray and then let's get into this. Father, lead us now in our study and may things be practical and usable and understandable. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. If you recall, Sister O'Neill, in my first sermons, when I first was leading you into Revelation, the beginning of the year, first getting into the book of Revelation, I told you then that the book of Revelation was based on three big sevens. Anybody remember that? Yeah. It's all right. Just pretend like you do. It makes me feel good. The seven churches, the seven seals, which we have just completed, and the seven trumpets. Those are the big sevens of the book. And we told you that the seven trumpets, the seven churches rather, deal more with the personal aspect. Your handout says religious history. But I like to think of the seven churches as more the personal history. We pointed out in that sermon that some of us are living in an Ephesus stage, some of us are living in a Smyrna stage. Remember that Pergamos stage. Some of us are going through loss of love. Some of us are going through trial, Brother King. Some of us are going through compromise, Pergamos. Some of us are going through apostasy, Thyatira. Some of us are going through kind of a half-baked experience, Sardis. Some of us are going through more trial, Philadelphia. And some of us are neither hot nor cold, Laodicea. Remember that sermon? We made that clear. So the seven churches are showing our growth, our journey with Christ personally. Then we said... that the seven seals, though, deal with the church, Cheryl, ecclesiastically. The development of the church, Elder O'Neill. The church has gone from a white horse stage to a pale horse stage to a crying out of the fifth seal, crying out from the altar of the persecution that we're undergoing. And then, of course, we move to the sixth and seventh seal, which is the second coming. Now follow me. Stay with me. The seven churches, the personal Christian. The seven seals, the church that the Christian is in. The seven trumpets, the world that the church is in, that you are in. Did you follow me? So the three sevens. Beautiful song, Fiona. Beautiful song. The three sevens take us from you to you and your church to you and the world you live in. See, that's why I said this sermon today, this is teaching. I want you to get this. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit does. In order to catch the attention of John, to help him understand the role of the church in this wicked world, Ken, that in the seven trumpets, The Holy Ghost focuses on Rome. What country? Because Rome, stay with me, I'm setting you up to understand the seven trumpets. Because Rome was the United States of its day. It was the big country. It was the powerful country. It was the influencing country. It was the military power. It was the economic power. It was the political power. Nothing in the then known world happened that didn't accede or have to be recognized by or supported by Rome. It was just unthinkable in John's day to believe that Rome would fall, as it is unthinkable in our day to think the United States will fall. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Revelation, before the book is done, hear me, before the book is done, God wants the Christian to know there is nothing you can rely upon but Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Pastor's glad I was born in America. I've traveled the world. This is the place. That's why a lot of us who are here came from someplace else to get here. Now go on and say amen. Don't sit there all pious. You left where you were to get here. This is a great country. And with all of its failings and its faults and its corruption, it's a good country, place to live. I've been to some places where you live. And I'm here and so are you. Okay, let's just be frank. It's a great country to live in. It's an amazing country. We have more stuff in a giant supermarket than some folk, some countries, some islands have in all the stores and the island put together. Not going to say amen. Don't get offended. Just say amen. It's the truth anyhow. It's a great country, and it's hard for you and me to picture a day when this country will not be the backbone of everything. But brothers and sisters, the seven trumpets are going to teach us that the only thing everlasting is the kingdom of God. Remember when he gave the vision of the image to Daniel, and Daniel saw Babylon fall, and Daniel saw Medo-Persia fall, and Daniel saw Greece fall, and Daniel saw Rome fall. And then he saw a mountain, come on somebody, that grew up and filled the earth, and he said, God will establish a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. That's where our hope needs to be. In spite of the comforts here, brothers and sisters, your future is not the United States of America. Your future is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The earth made new. So then, with that background, take the handout. Take the handout. Leading you somewhere. Take the handout. And so the handout breaks down very simply, go down to the middle section, and it shows under each trumpet the various things that historically, and I don't care if you don't remember these names, first trumpet, Alaric and the Goths begin to work on Rome, second trumpet, Genseric and the Vandals begin to work on Rome, third trumpet, Attila and the Huns work on Rome, and then by 476, the fourth trumpet, Ottokar brings down Western Rome. Rome goes down piece by piece. You're not going to remember those names. You're not going to remember those dates. You don't need to be saved. What you need to know is Rome began to fall apart. That's all you need to remember. The seven trumpets, the first four, Ken, are about Rome falling apart. That's all you need to remember. The rest of it, you don't need to. Just remember that. Rome, the great Rome, fell apart. Anything, folk, connected with men will fall apart. Some of you drive real good cars. Lexus, Mercedes, gonna fall apart. Drive it long enough, gonna fall apart. You notice you buy a Lexus, they got repair shops for Lexus just like they do for Fords. Notice that? I've never seen them sell a car, they don't have a repair shop. Huh? Have you noticed that? Yeah. Because anything man makes falls apart. And the seven trumpets, Sanjay is saying to me, I don't care how great even a nation is. Because nations are built by men. Now, yes and no. I'll show you something in a few minutes. It's God, because God works in the context of nations. God works in the context of history. Let me go on and just tell you. So there's a text in Daniel that says, it is the Lord who sets up kings and so forth. See, this is why, Pastor Wright, I'm not worried about who gets elected. I have my preference, but I'm not worried about it. If it's Trump or Dump or Stump, that makes any difference. That makes any difference. Why? Because, hey, God works in history. So if the Lord decides to allow someone you don't like, whether it be Clinton or Trump, in office, then don't be worried about who it is. The Christian should ask himself why it is. Because I can assure you, no one is ever elected president of this country that God doesn't have something to do with it. And so the issue is not about who got elected, but what is God saying? See, you ought to rejoice today that in spite of the fact that nations are basically established by mankind, the God we serve is never going to turn the history of this world over to men. Huh? See how you responded to that? You like that point, don't you? That made you feel good. So the bumbling, stumbling, do-nothing Congress, the bumbling, stumbling local leaders, we can put up with them, but we're not left in their hands. I wish somebody would celebrate with me. We're not left in their hands. So, the seven trumpets, I'll say it again, are dealing with the world we live in, and Rome is used as the template. All right, now under the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet, the rise of Islam is introduced. And of course, we're living in the effects of that rise today, aren't we? Okay, now what is God doing here? Well, history will not sustain a vacuum. And so Paul, in this world we live in, if something falls, something else is gonna rise. Have you got it? We got rid of Al-Qaeda, we thought, and now we got ISIS. Okay? But again, the seven trumpets, Sister Sonia is saying to me, it doesn't make any difference who rises up. Over all of it, I need somebody to talk back to me. Over all of it is Jesus Christ the righteous. The book is about him. See, you shouldn't have the same reaction, Carla, to the activities of ISIS that the non-believer does. You should sleep at night. I don't care how many cities they take in Iraq. I don't care how many people they kill. You, as a Christian, you just pray and you relax because you know they're going no further than God allows. Now, I know you have a problem sometimes with what God allows, but you ain't God. You. But they go no further than God allows. And so we don't pile up with stocks and bonds. I know some of you got money in the bank. I know some of you do. Oh, yeah. And every now and then, private, you call up and just make sure it's still there. Gives you a good feeling. But as a Christian, you know God's going to burn it all up. Isn't he? Squeeze out an amen, isn't he? I know it's hard to think about it. He's going to burn it up, stocks and bonds and this K and that K, 410 and 510. He's going to burn it all up. Why? You're not going to need it. In a world controlled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For study will study war no more. Come on now. Where you have one robe that'll last you for eternity. You won't need any dry cleaning because you won't ever stink. Come on and say amen. Hallelujah! So this is what Christians rely on. So I'm still preaching the seven trumpets. Now. Really, Pastor, what does this have to do with me and the church? Take your Bibles now. You can put this aside. I've just taught you about as much about the seven trumpets as you're ever going to need to know. It simply describes the demise of human rulership. Just remember that. The seven trumpets show us that no matter how many powers there are, no matter how strong they are, sooner or later they're going to fall apart. But the seven trumpets tell me, Donnell, I don't have to worry, because if they fall apart, God is in control. All right with that? Now. God understanding, Genesis 12:2, God understanding that human kingdoms fall apart, yet understanding that we must live within them, had a sub-plan. What kind of plan did he have? Genesis 12 and verse 2. He's talking to Abraham. That's why I like teaching better than preaching. He's talking to Abraham. Here's what he says. I will make you what? I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, wait a minute, Frank. We've already learned that no matter what kind of earthly kingdom is established, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fall apart. We got that. Preston, that's clear to us. We all know that now. But what you didn't realize, in the midst of human stuff falling apart, God wanted to raise up, Rodney, in the midst of it, his own people. Let me say it so you can get it. In the midst of human mess, God wanted a people who were not messy. That's us. I'm sorry you're not more proud of it. That's us. That's us. We're supposed to be the steady, ready, unbothered, consistent folk in the midst of mess. Abraham, this world you live in is terrible, but I'm going to raise up from your loins descendants that will be a blessing. So, in the midst of corruption, Elder O'Neill, we're supposed to be a people that are not corrupt. In the midst of greed and people grabbing for power, we're supposed to be a people who care and minister. Yeah, I'm coming home to you now. There's a reason why the Lord placed the church, his nation, in the midst of communities. We're to be the balancing factor. There's greed and corruption and people misspending and misusing out there, but we're to be the caring hands of God. The church should be so active in the community that people don't even notice how corrupt corruption is. Plans for the widows, plans for the fatherless, plans for the infirm, plans for the shut-in, the church, the nation within the nation. Are you listening to me? Here's what Satan has done. He's gotten us so caught up in the nation building going on around us. We're so busy trying to keep up with them, we've forgotten our purpose. I'm going to come right at you. There's no sin in your owning a nice house, having a nice car. But if the nice house and the nice car are keeping you from being focused on the reason why you're a Christian, then the nice house and the nice car are going to destroy you. Amen. If you can have the nice house and the nice car and also carry out the mission of God, amen.
Amen.
But if having those things has robbed you of the capacity and the ability to carry out God's mission, then you've gotten caught up in that other kind of nation building. You got it now, Frank, don't you? Hear that long, yeah, he got it. You've gotten caught up in the other kind. See, that other kind of nation building, Michelle, is very enticing because it's built on power and control. And we keep moving up and moving up. And see, that's why they name these neighborhoods to get to you. So-and-so estates. Nobody buys a house in Hog Bottom. Where did you move to? Oh, we're in the Highlands now. We moved to the Highlands now. They psych us with names. But it's buying us into the psychology of Rome, the psychology of power, ownership, name identification. And so the Lord said to Abraham, I want to raise up a people in the midst of this that will not be like this. Exodus 19 and verse 6. Are you understanding the sermon? I know you are. I know you are. You're good people. You're good people. Pastor loves you. Exodus 19 and verse 6. Listen, look. And you shall be to me a kingdom of what?
Priests.
That's ministers. That's ministers. A kingdom of priests. Look at it now. And a what? A what? You know, it's interesting. Some of the candidates are going around talking about the United States being a great nation. They never say holy nation. Have you noticed that? Great nation. One fellow wants us to be great again. Another lady says we're already great. You know, some of this stuff is ridiculous. You know that? Debates over the word great. I don't care about that. Because I've read in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 34th verse, don't have time to go there, it says that it is righteousness that exalted the nation. Character, right doing. That makes a nation great. And so the Lord said to the Israelites, now, he's following through on Abraham's promise to Abraham, make you a great nation. Now here they are, over a million of them, set free from Egypt. And he says, now, I'm going to now make you a holy nation, a kingdom of what? Say it again. Priests. That means ministers. Folk, God's nation, you're God's nation. We're to be a church full of not ministries, but ministers. And so, minister, what is your ministry? Yeah, because we're all ministers. Oh, you thought ministers, that's what Pastor Wright and Pastor Taylor and Pastor Cozy are. Oh, no, I just read my Bible. I read my Bible. Very clear. A kingdom, a minister. The ministry of kindness, the ministry of forgiveness. Can I get a witness in this place?
Amen.
The ministry of thoughtfulness, the ministry of phone calls to those who don't show up at church. Not nosy phone calls now. Don't call people to ask them why they're not at church. It's none of your business. You call them and say, I missed you at church. It wasn't the same without you. Why they're not there is God's business. Don't call up trying to get a story. No, I called her up. Know what she said? She and the husband, they have having trouble. See that? We missed you. Ministry. Do you have the spirit of ministry? Or do you have to work yourself up to it? Let me go deeper. Do you have a compassionate heart? A kingdom full of ministers. And study, focus is sad, study the history of the Israelite nation. They lost their purpose and got caught up in wanting to be like Rome. Remember that? They wanted to rule and control just like Rome. God trying to carve out a special people. Go to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. I have a bunch of these. We'll just read a few of them. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it? Read that again. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Can't you say amen to that text? It says, what kind of people are you that God is so close to you? For whatever reason, we may call upon him. So actually, Pastor Faison, the Lord wants this nation to be a nation of people so close to God that when we call on his name, he does stuff. He does stuff just because we prayed. Now just think, in this walk over you, climb over you world we live in, if the church was truly the motivating factor in the communities, that people, no matter what was going on, knew to look in our direction. You know what bothers me, Carl? We have not yet reached the point, listen to your pastor, we're always having to go out to them. But our warmth and our bearing in this community should be such that people feel comfortable coming to us, knowing they will be served. Now, you should have said amen. What kind of people are you, he says, that God is so close to you? So, here are God's concerns. Jeremiah 2:11. Jeremiah 2:11. And those of you who slipped in a bit late, we're preaching on the seven trumpets, but not the way that some thought we would. Jeremiah 2 and verse 11. Because we've seen in the seven trumpets God telling us that great nations will fall, but God wants us to be a special nation in the midst. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit? Hey, he says, has my nation changed its gods from the God that is called Christ to the God that is called prosperity? One of the insults to the church is the growing number of churches in the world today, many of them megachurches, who cater to prosperity gospel. And Jeremiah raises the question, have you changed your God? Do you now measure yourself by the way they measure themselves? Those gods are enticing. Ken Brody, nobody enjoys security more than me. I like security. We like security. You know we do. I like feeling secure and safe. But what's the root of that safety? Is the root of that safety, Ron, that we know no matter what, God's going to take care of me? Or is the root of my safety the size of my house, the cost of my car, the cut of my suit, the salary I earn? See, don't lie to yourself. Be honest for once and ask yourself, what really is the root of your safety? What makes you feel secure? Is it your relationship with Christ that makes you secure, or is it something else? And if it is, name it. Ask forgiveness for it. Security is an interesting thing. Had eye surgery this week on this eye. I'm supposed to be able to see those numbers now without these glasses. I can do it. I can do better now. It's coming. But I remember before the surgery, talking about security, Dr. Hers, wonderful doctor, pretty lady. Could be operated on by a pretty lady. Leaned over my face. Pastor, are you doing fine? I'm fine. She said, I'm going to take care of you. I didn't mean to be respectful, disrespectful. I said, Doc, somebody else is going to take care of me. You're going to operate. There's a difference, folk. Did you follow what I said? What? And she just smiled. She said, I understand. Her father's a pastor. I understand. I want to make it clear before you take me off. I ain't counting on you. No. No. I know who's going to take care of me. I'm talking about the issue of security. Where's your security? And there's so many false pillars in today's world that you can find yourself leaning on and you don't even realize it. Education, business, success, these make us feel good about ourselves. Brothers and sisters, these are fleeting. And in Jeremiah, he raises the question, have you traded your God for some other God? If you have, you can't be my nation. Let me finish this thing up. And so in Matthew 24:7, he says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You see, the nations we have today, Jocelyn, they can't last. There's too much rivalry and competition. God's going to bring us a world. Listen to me. God's going to bring us a world where there are no borders. No borders. Folk, I've traveled the world. And some of these nations, they want you to feel that you're coming in. Oh, yeah. Patting all over you. Peeping in your luggage. I don't want folks looking at my underwear. Peeping in your luggage. No, that ain't none of your business. Just because I come in my country, don't get right looking at my underwear, but no, here they are looking at my underwear. Patting you down. And you got to go to this. One country, I won't even name it because somebody might be from there. Put me in a booth. Strip down my underwear. Wait a minute, fella. Only Carol sees me in my underwear, not you. What is this? Listen to the pastor. I'm finishing up. What has happened to nationhood, listen, what has happened to nationhood today, it's divided us. Ah, but Jesus paints a picture. One nation, one God, one people. Somebody say amen. Amen. One nation, one God, one people. The seven trumpets announce to me God's going to get rid of the greatness and the smallness. The Romans are going to fall. The USAs are not reliable. God says, I'm tired of it. I gave humans a chance at it. They messed it up. I called my church to be different in it. They've not done it, so I'm going to establish a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and there shall be no border. What's the passport to that nation? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you want to go? I'm asking the question of you, do you want to go? So the seven trumpets are an announcement. Chapters 8, chapters 9. that whatever man has built up will fall apart. The seventh trumpet, Revelation. Seventh trumpet, Revelation 11. Sounds like this, verse 15, the seventh trumpet. Then the seventh angel sounded. You see it? Let's all read it. Come on. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Read it, folk, and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the good news of the seven trumpets. Paul, one kingdom, one Lord, one nation. Your heads are bowed. Oh, Father, it's hard for us to imagine such a world. We have grown up in a world divided by lines, borders between cities, city limits, county lines, state borders, nation borders, different people, different dress, different languages, different looks, different customs. That's all we know. The human race knows nothing about oneness. You've challenged the church to bring the spirit of oneness into this divided world through its connection with you. We know we have not been what you would have us to be in that area. We have too much trouble being one with ourselves, one with one another. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Don't give up on us. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to be the nation you would have us to be within this divided nation. Keep us steady. Keep us true. May we not commit the sin that Jeremiah outlined, having traded our God for the gods of this world. But most of all, spare us with mercy and bring us to that land where never a border guard shall be seen, never a passport shall be needed. Bring us to that place. Bring us, Lord, to that place. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Was this good for you?
Yes.
God bless.